Hey, golf show with a couple of golf guys, Brent Gunning and Sam McKee here with you. Sammy, first major of the year is in the books, and what a shocker. Scottie Scheffler won it. Fun weekend of golf, amen?
Yeah. It all feels kind of stupid to me that, there's just all this consternation about who could win, and, you're heading on Sunday afternoon, and boy, heading to 9 there before he tees off at 9. I am in full, I'm edging towards glory of the best back nine at the Masters that we've had in years, because this thing's been a blowout, and it's okay to have dominant golfers, but one of the things that makes Augusta Augusta is that you want to have the moments, you want to have these huge, roars and guys going ahead and just, and as soon as Scotty, I'll say birdied 9 after he almost eagled 9, that's where to me it kind of felt like it changed. But yeah, for a moment there, for that fleeting moment in time on Sunday afternoon, it felt like we were about to have an 86-esque finish here, because I don't know if you've watched the broadcast. I'm pretty sure you have watched the broadcast of the 86 Masters, where it's just every guy is right in it. And it kind of felt like that with the stars and the star power at the top of the game. And then Scottie Scheffler remembered he's Scottie Scheffler, and he just put everyone to bed. But yeah, it's still great to watch, still enjoyed it, but I would like a little drama one of these years, Gunner. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's really not. But again, with Scottie Scheffler injecting himself the way he has, I think it actually kind of is. So he bogeys 7, and I, because everyone loves hearing about our gambling exploits, I thought of doing the thing you did with Rom.
It was last Masters.
At the Masters, and I said, that's the spot. But because he's Scottie Scheffler and he's so respected, there still wasn't any value.
Yeah, it was probably minus 250 still.
Yeah, it said, I'll just enjoy this as a fan. And that's exactly what I did. It was remarkable to see him just have guys melt away around him. I think you have to give him a little credit for that. He's not an intimidating figure like Prime Tiger was, where you feel the iciness coming from him, but he's just the steady figure that you never feel like is gonna make a mistake, and if he does, you just figure he's gonna get it right back. That's the thing about him that is so impressive. It's not that he feels like this overwhelming great figure, again, like a Prime Tiger is, or quite honestly even like some other guy, like you think of Koepka in his prime, where he's just like mouthing off to the field saying, none of these guys can beat me, I show up and I'm competing with 6 guys here. That's not Scheffler, but he just feels like easy dominance. Like, if we're going to do like a baseball analogy, there are those powerful pitchers like Randy Johnson who feel like powerful pitchers, but Scheffler's like Greg Maddux. He's just like, I could do this all day, pal. And that's the thing that just, it's so, so impressive to me.
I don't know where I saw this or if I came up with this, or it's just in my brain. He's golf Jokic.
Yeah.
He honestly is golf Jokic, that he's just, it doesn't seem like he's overly excited about winning. It seems like it's not even close to the biggest priority in his life. Obviously, his biggest priority in his life is his family. And Jokic's biggest priority in his life is his horses and horse racing. So, like, these guys just seem to have different priorities. And I think that's part of what makes him great, is that, I think he kind of crossed over this weekend in terms of people liking him. And you're a diehard golf fan, and you've always respected his game. But you texted me after, and you're like, this is the one that did it for me. Bunkus was texting me about that. Like, he's kind of my guy now. My mom was texting me, I really like this guy. It just felt like it was a moment where he kind of crossed over. And I think it just comes down to him seeming very genuine with his mindset. And I think that's a part of what makes him dominant, is that these other guys are like, all I care about is this. This is literally what I eat, sleep, and breathe. I'm out here all the time. And I'm not saying that Scottie doesn't practice or all that stuff, but it just really does feel that he could walk away and he'd be completely content in his life. And playing against a guy like that has got to suck. You want the head case guy that really is like hating it and, I have to get better, I have to get better. And it just seems like he's totally content where his game's at. And his game's at a really great place, an all-time place.
Yeah, the other thing, too, and it's like, I want to be careful. I'm not, like, talking a little out of my ass here on this one. But and it's not like he's alone in this on the PGA Tour, but does it not feel like his belief in God is like his superpower? He had that quote, I don't know if you saw it, where he's like, yeah, my friend just said to me, like, you know, my victory's secure because I'm with Jesus. And like, I can't, you know, like, I can appreciate it. I can't understand it as like not a religious person, but it just seems like that's what allows him to be so content in this. And it's like, I'm sure it also is the fact that he has a major and has ripped off 2 wins in the last 3 appearances we saw of him before. Like, I'm sure it's all part and parcel, but he just seems so content. And man, like, you know, we've all been, if you're lucky enough, you've been in that sweet spot in your life. Like, Bud, you got married, what was it, last summer, a couple years ago? Mm-hmm. I had it same way. It's like, I get married, I have a kid, you know, promotion at work, and it's like you just feel unstoppable. And Scheffler's kind of in that spot right now. And you know, no one gave him his promotion, he went out there and took it by winning the green jacket last year, but he just seems like he's in this spot where he's accomplished everything he needs to. And you know, again, he wants to keep winning, he wants to keep ripping off majors, but he's just in that amazing sweet spot of life right now. Like, it honestly feels in hindsight like the only thing that could have stopped him was his wife,
yeah,
saying that he was going to have the baby.
Which,
and I had this conspiracy theory cooked up in my head that the wife was just going to not tell him. If it's like, whatever, just tell him the baby came like the second he got here. Because it's like, how could you rip him away? But, you know, obviously they have their own priorities.
I mean, famously, there's not phones allowed on the course at Augusta. So he would have had to, somebody would have had to tell him. It's probably a long way to get out to 13 where he's at. You know, by the time he gets out there, he's like, well, I got to walk back to the clubhouse anyway, so I might as well finish. He's in the final.
She had
bearing.
Some guys stationed right outside the gates with a beeper. It's like, how was she going to get the message to him? You're right. It is funny to think about.
I just thought it was stupid, though, because it's like, this is such an overblown story. Like, was she 2.5 weeks away?
Yeah, 3 weeks away. Yeah.
So, like, I know not a lot about the female anatomy when it comes to pregnancies, and I'm not going to pretend to know, but I feel like he had a bit of time. Like, I feel like he really got a lot of good guy grace because of him being like, I'll leave immediately. If this super unlikely thing happens, I will immediately leave. No questions asked. So he got a lot of good guy stuff from that. But good on him, because it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's entirely possible we're talking about this at the next major. Like, who knows? It's just, man, his dominance. You mentioned the crossover part of it all, mm-hmm, where it felt like this was a moment where he crossed over for me. Yeah, like, I've been someone who enjoys watching anybody play great golf, but he's never grabbed me in that way. And, you know, I think it's still entirely possible that if I find myself with, I don't know, if it was Max Homa chasing him down, I probably would have been really, really happy to see that. So it's not like I'm completely in the tank for Scheffler now, but it did go from just, okay, this guy's dominant, to, wow, I want to watch him be dominant here. I want to see him put his foot down on the throat of these other guys and win by 5, 6, 7, whatever it ends up being. So how important is it to have a dominant figure in golf? Like, obviously, we want it in any sport, whether it's the person you're cheering for or you look at them as like a villain figure. It does feel like it's an important thing, but in golf, it just feels, I don't know, like so much more important. Yeah, it's great if you have a pack and it's just Rahm and Koepka, and I don't know, maybe one day Rory McIlroy wants to win a major again, and he can get in there, or Bryson's grabbing one of these things, and that can be amazing too. But in the absence of that, where you get a major winner like, oh, I don't know, a guy like Wyndham Clark, who missed the cut this weekend, where you need to have these. Yeah, boy, that we I will give you time to tee
Thank
off
you.
On him. I know
Thank
that
you.
Was your favorite from Thank this you. Weekend. But I just think if you're not going to have elite guy after elite guy, which is possible, if you're not have that, you need to have a guy like Scheffler kind of poke his head up and be the one that kind of becomes like the hunted one for all these other guys.
I absolutely love it. I just think it just brings so much to a tournament where everybody's trying to beat one guy. And I think that's what was so fun about the Tiger era, is that you had these guys that were, you know, good players, and clearly Phil came out of that era. You had VJ early in his career. You had guys later in his career that were going up, but even in 2019 when he won. You know, Molinari was at the top of his game when he screwed it up on 12. Finau was right there with him. Koepka, Cantlay. Like, he's had all these moments against all these guys, and I think that's what makes it really fun to have Scheffler now, is because going into these golf tournaments, all these guys know they have to beat him. He's the guy that they have to beat. He's the favorite. He's the best player. And it just, it adds a ton. I don't think you can discredit how much it means to have a dominant figure. And I'm sure the tour loves it too. Like, they want to have a guy like this. They want to have dominance. You want, like you mentioned, a sort of dynasty-esque figure. And he's that. He's just a really seemingly unflappable guy who is a really great person. And I mean, if it comes out that there's Tiger stuff with him, it would be even bigger surprise than Tiger. Like, it really does feel like he's a truly down to earth, God fearing, you know, Southern guy who loves golf, loves his family. Like, he's a very normal guy. This is the ideal scenario heading into the rest of these majors and the rest of these big tournaments to have Scotty doing this. It really is. Now, it's three tournaments in a row. Well, I mean, he would have been four tournaments in a row if he had made a five-footer to go to a playoff at the former match play. Was it the Children's Open now or whatever it's called?
Yeah. Texas something. Yeah.
So, I really think that it's just, it's great for the game to have him doing this. It just is. It's undeniable.
Well, you mentioned the Tiger thing, and, like, you know, I wouldn't wish that downfall or whatever on anybody, but... Can you imagine that story if it came out?
Oh, my God.
We can't lose. He can, but we can't lose. If it just came out that this is new Tiger and that this is actually the only way to be the greatest golfer of all time is to be that dude. And again, I would be floored if that were the case with Scottie Scheffler. But you said it, and I'm just like, oh, my God, like, let's live in that world for 0.1 millisecond. Can you imagine how exciting that would be? Like, we've had fun with this Ohtani story because it was so unexpected. Could you imagine if it was, if you got that out of Scheffler? And again, like, there's no reason to believe you ever would, but we can't lose. Either this story continues or we get a curveball of all curveballs.
So I will say that, you know, whenever one of these guys wins a major, like a good player that, you know, expect to win a lot, we're like, oh, my God, you never picture him losing again. Mm-hmm. And we've done it with Koepka. We've done it with Morikawa, who's won two now. You do it with all these different guys, and it's still golf, and it's, you know, it's hard to win. But I do feel like Scheffler is much different. I do feel like there's a world here where if I'm setting the over-under at the rest of the year for with 2.5 majors, you're still slamming hard under?
2.5?
So yes, he has to win all three. He wins the whole slam, the Scotty slam.
Yeah, I am still saying under on that. Like, it's still golf. It's still so hard. There's still 1.5. I'd have to look hard at over. I would. Like, I think that he has set himself up now to where anything less than two majors, I think, is a disappointing season. Because it depends how he wants to be looked at. And I guess he doesn't really have a say in this. We're the ones who are putting these expectations on him. But if he thinks he is peak of his powers Tiger, then, one major was a ho-hum year for that guy.
Yeah.
And if you think you're going to be peak of his powers Tiger, and, you know, I know the PGA Tour victories will be so secondary with Scheffler in this era if he's going to be what he thinks he is, but, you know, a lot of the talent has left the PGA Tour week to week, like the high-end talent. There's still depth of field, and it's still a star-studded field if you win one of these signature events.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you got to rip off a ton of these. Like, I think that's the thing that we're going to see from Scheffler here. Is he one of these guys who's caught lightning in a bottle, which we've seen? Like, Dustin Johnson had an incredible run. Brooks Koepka winning two majors in a year and following it up and doing it again. Incredible run. It's been a decade plus since we've seen it, but go look at what Rory did and the sustained excellence of being world number one for well over a calendar year. Can Scottie Scheffler do that? And to your point, it always feels like it's going to last forever. He's got to make it last for at least a calendar year if he's going to be this Tiger-level figure. And that doesn't mean go win every major, but it's got to be at least rip off one more and get a little bit closer. Forget the Scotty Slam and doing it all in one year. Mm-hmm. Just get a little closer to the career Grand Slam by the end of this year and win one more, because, you know, he's done well at the Masters, and there's no reason to think PGA the US Open, he can't be great in those. But, you know, Open Championship is just a different animal. Really curious to see how he does with that as this guy. You know, he was at the Open last year being Scottie Scheffler, but it's not this, having won the Masters a couple of times now. So, I think you have to look at him as a guy that should win two majors this year, and that in and of itself is an insane thing to say.
It is. He's so now with the victory, 27 years old, fourth youngest player in Masters history to win twice, behind Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods and Seve Ballesteros. He did it in his fifth start, which is the fastest to win the Masters tournament twice in 88 years. Horton Smith, who won two in the first three, 1934 and 36, did it in fewer tries. So he's won it the fastest twice. I mean, he's playing against, you know, plumbers in 34 and 36, I think, where it's like, good, we love you, Horton Smith. You got two jackets. I'm sure Augusta wouldn't like to hear me say that. But, I mean, look at who Scheffler's playing against. I think it's, if you put him in there, that's incredible. So I love it.
Okay, you just made a great point, but in there I got distracted by something else you said, and I knew this, but every time I hear it, it's very jarring. Who feels older for their age? Jordan Spieth being 47 years old at 30, or Scottie Scheffler being like 38 years old at 27? Like, they both are, do they both not feel 42 years old, Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler? Like,
Scheffler feels way older to me than
Spieth. When you say 27, yeah, I'm like, like, that's how old his kid is, or what are we talking about here? Because he does not feel, he cannot feel 27.
Scooter Scheffler? Yeah, Scheffler is 27? No, it's crazy. So, that's just, I am so impressed with the guy. I just, the thing is, I feel like he's a really genuine to who he is guy, and he's an easy guy to root for. And going forward betting-wise, I'm looking at the PGA Championship odds here, and he's still 4-1.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I got to jump on that right away. How can you not?
Can I give you his career since 2020 at the PGA Championship?
Bad?
T4.
Okay, yes.
T8. Okay. Cut. T2.
Okay, so yes, I will be betting on that.
And just while we're here, the U.S. Open, T7, T2, 3. That's from 21. And then at the Open Championship, it's been T8 in 2021 and then T21, T23. So the Open has been his bugaboo. But again, that's just outside the top 20. And we're talking about it being his bugaboo.
So this is remarkable, Gunnar. So I went on and I'm looking at the odds here quickly before we move on to other golfers.
Yeah, yeah.
To win 2+ majors. So I guess that's after now. Mm-hmm. He is plus. What do you think the number is?
If it's two, so you think that means to win 3 majors total?
Oh,
no,
I think that probably means to win another one.
That would mean to win one more. Yeah. If it's to win one more major, I bet the number is 8-1.
It's plus 100.
Oh my God.
And the next closest is Rory at 40-1.
That's insane.
Remarkable. That to me may be the most impressive Scottie Scheffler stat. And if you want him to win 3+, get him at plus 650. And if you want him to win 4 majors, it's 33-1. So there you go.
Oh, and the fact that he's got the players already this year, like, it's not a major. It doesn't count as one. No. But he's now, him and Tiger, the only guys to win the Masters and the Players in the same year. The more of these only he and Tiger stats we get, the harder. Because I think it is a little unfair to put it on him that he is immediately, because when, well, I mean, Rory, we did do it with a little bit, but like, we didn't say Brooks Koepka had to become Tiger Woods. He was just allowed to be this major killer, and now his career is set in stone. But honestly, like, we don't need to play the how many majors does he finish at game every time Scottie Scheffler wins one of these things. But if I just told you he finishes his career with 5 total majors, would that not feel, and this is insane to say, it's disappointing, right?
100%.
Yeah, and that's Koepka. Like, to be Brooks Koepka would be a disappointment. And all we've talked about for half a decade, closer to a decade with that guy, is he's the biggest major championship killer of his generation. And if Scottie Scheffler finishes with as many majors as him, it'd be a disappointment. Like, no matter how you slice it, the expectations are on him. And it's fair. They should be. It's nuts. It's nuts. All right, you good on Scheffler?
All good.
From the guy who has 2 majors to a guy who finished in second, Ludvig Åberg, our man. We are Lud's lads. We are Bergie boys, whatever you want to call us.
Oh,
we
yeah.
love this guy. We're in the tank for him. We got to follow him around at the RBC Canadian Open. That was special. Seeing him yesterday was, man, we were all Trevor Immelman as that ball was careening to the left on 11 going, watch out. Too late. A little late to yell watch out as it is careening towards the water. Because once it, with the exception of Francesco Molinari in 2019, Once a ball thinks about going in the water on 11, it goes in. Like the second the thought, it's like you passing a pub going, maybe. And the second that thought enters your mind, you're in. Like there's no secondary thought there. That was a backbreaker. Seeing him respond was incredible. Just, I mean, we both love this guy. It was awesome to see him have that moment.
Yeah, I think to me, that obviously ends this tournament. But to me, him going 2-under the rest of the way after double bogeying 11 in your, you know, Masters debut when you're in the second to last pairing in, on the back nine at Amen Corner.
Second nine. Don't get Augusta.
You can't say back nine.
Well, it's just like, when we cover it, I don't want them to have pulled up.
Is that
your seats.
A thing?
Like, oh yeah, you got it. If you're on the grounds there, you got to go second nine.
Oh, second nine. Okay.
Like Adam Stanley is in trouble now just because we said it, and he's not even here.
So him to go 2-under on the second nine after double bogeying 11, which ends your tournament, and he's smiling walking over to the 12th green. Like
I know
this guy's a problem. If he's doing that in his first Masters, that doesn't happen. Like, you know what happens is Højgaard. That's what happens, where it's like a guy like floats around, and it's like, oh, he had the solo lead on the back nine on Saturday for one moment, Højgaard did. And then it just all went away on him. He never recovered. They stopped showing him. It was over for him. That's what usually happens when you have a big moment like that where it goes in the water or whatever. And for him to respond told me everything I need to know, and he's hitting it close everywhere. He could have gotten it to 8. He could have gotten it to 9 with a couple putts. Obviously, it wouldn't have mattered anyway because Scotty got it all the way to 11. But this Åberg, I'm a really big fan of him, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him kind of grow here and go into the next majors or whatever. He seems like he is a super-duper star in the making.
Yeah, the thing about him, too, is that I do wonder, and he didn't win, so I don't want to overstate like what it means to his public consciousness, but he was one of these guys that if you I'm not saying he was on the casuals radar heading into this, but if you were someone who did any kind of like looking into this, he was one of the B-tier storylines of this Ryder Cup rookie making his Masters debut. How's he going to do? And he makes it to the weekend. That's a great first step. But then being right there and being flummoxed, I'm sure. There was also like the moment where the guy knocked his like protein bar out of his hand. And it's like, is that going to make him mad? No, he just thinks that's hilarious too. Completely unflappable. I mean, you and I have talked about this on pods before, but again, going back to seeing him at the RBC Canadian Open, the Euros just accepted him immediately as one of their own. He was with Fleetwood and Fitzpatrick, and this is unquantifiable, but how much must that have helped him? Like, you can't do the one-to-one comparison of playing in a Ryder Cup is like a major, because that's a team event, so you have so many people helping you. But being in those big moments with Rory or Fleetwood or Rombo or, you even got, like, Sergio's poking around there. I guess he wouldn't have been last time. But so many guys that have been in so many big moments and going through that before you ever go through a major, I can only imagine how much that kind of helped him this past weekend. He is the next one of these kind of younger players. There are some nice guys, but I mean, I guess Altoris has been solo second as well at the Masters, so it's unfair to say, but it's like he's past Will Zalatoris already on public consciousness in terms of what you expect for this guy. He's a special, special player, man.
Yeah, and it's just the look of him too. Like, he's just a big, strapping, handsome, great swing.
He's so big.
Awesome smile. He is like a dream guy for the tour. And to have him be Euro, to be able to go in the Ryder Cup and go up against these big American, like, it's as good as it gets. He's such a Ryder Cup guy, too. Like, you just know he's going to be a killer when it comes down to it. Like, they don't make guys like that in the States. You can just see it. You just know that it's going to happen. So I was beyond impressed with him. I loved his game. I really didn't get on the train with him because I just find that a lot of these Masters rookies, they really do struggle. And we can talk about Wyndham Clark, Højbjerg had a bit of a moment there. Højgaard had a bit of a moment there or whatever. But like, I hate putting any money on these Masters rookies. And I didn't put a cent on them. I didn't put them in any pools. It made me look like an idiot. And it's just, I'm usually right with that strategy. And he made me look like an idiot. And he's just different. He's a different animal.
I bet him to miss the cut.
Oops.
Like on Monday. Hold on. Mm. But then I would just was staring at it leading into the like Tuesday and Wednesday. And then I had the ability to cash out at what I bet it at. And I went, I don't want to root for this. I hope he makes it to the weekend. I want to be in on this. So I had no actual investment, but I was able to get out of my D investment, if that makes any sense. So that felt like a huge win. Like, yeah. I might as well have bet him to win the tournament, how hard I was riding for him. We don't need to belabor the point, but we should very much make it. You mentioned Wyndham Clark there, put his foot in his mouth. I thought this was going to be, you know, Thursday. He seemed to be battling and grinding on a day with some pretty tough conditions, and it just never came together on the Friday. He has the comment about, oh, Liv doesn't know anything about 72 holes anymore. He doesn't even make it to the weekend. Ouch. I don't have anything else to say other than ouch, but I'll let you go.
No, he's just dumb. Don't say dumb stuff. Especially at Augusta, like, it's your first time there. You know how hard it is, that wind, like, it just, he looked like an idiot. And I think there's a lot of people that aren't the biggest fan of Wyndham Clark. I think he's kind of a polarizing figure, I would say. And for him to go out there and say that, where he was kind of growing on me. Like, I just, as a guy who's always in contention at these tournaments, I've really kind of started to come around on him. That one hurt me. I was like, oh, boy. You're saying stuff, and like, we get it. Like, you're the guy that, you know, oh yeah, we get it. Like, you don't like Liv. You're a big tough guy when no one said anything about Liv for 6 months, and you have to come out and make this dumb comment where he just had this look on his face. You know, he's like Mr. Smug. And then immediately Augusta National's like, you know what, buddy? You're about to look stupid. And he did. So sorry, Wyndham, but you're dumb.
That's what you get for taking a tougher stance against Liv than Augusta did. They did not like that. The golf gods didn't. It's funny that he managed to thread the needle of offending both of us. Because with me, he offended me because he reignited the Liv Wars. Like, now Koepka had to poke his head up and go like, oh yeah, look at what I have to say about this here. Like, it just, like, it was a dumb comment, but I would have loved it if it would have proved to fruition and he had a great weekend. But it was the worst case scenario in that he managed to, offend both of us there. If we're going to talk Liv, easy enough transition. Ludvig Åberg, he was like a big guy. Wyndham Clark is a tall guy. But neither of them are the big golfer. Your beloved big golfer, Bryson DeChambeau, and I hate to say it, but oh my God, I missed you, Bryson. It was so good to have you back. I'll let you start on this one. Okay. Wherever you want to go.
Here's where I'll start. Okay, we get it. He has weird clubs. Like, oh my God. Like, you know, it's just. Oh, I'm sure all these other guys are playing, you know, stock clubs off the rack at Dick's Sporting Goods. Not one of these guys have made any adjustments to any of their clubs. And just because, you know, Bryson's an Inuit, like, he's very innovative when it comes to clubs. He does all this different stuff. And it's like, if I hear 3D printer one more goddamn time, Gunner, I'm going to snap. I'm like, really? Oh, it's like, oh, yo, he hit a good 8-iron. Oh, that's a lot of 8-iron. Oh, it must be because they're 3D printed. It can't be because the guy's strong and hit a good shot. Dude, it was just, oh my God, we get it. Like, I love the Masters broadcast. I love you, Immelman. I love you, Dottie. I love everyone that's involved. But, like, I'm Colangelo. Find a new slant. Holy hell, man. God.
Oh, I was at a little buddy's play date. Bunch of us have kids around the same age. So we got together and Masters was on. And this was all anybody wanted to talk about. Now, part of it is that, like, one of the guys, like, you know, you and I don't understand any of this stuff, but, like, he's some type of engineer that involves 3D printing, and he was yammering my ear off about this, and I thought about FaceTiming you in for it, because I know you just can't get enough of it. You're right. Like, it is, this is a classic broadcast tick of, okay, this is the news and notes on this guy. We all know the other stuff about Bryson. Like, we don't need to belabor that part of it. This is news. New-ish, and then he never went away. He just kept being part of the story. And you're right, they did mention it, but I love how there is no tenor of the broadcast. There's a very fine window for you in which you want them to talk about Bryson. Oh, if they talk about him in a way, it's too much. This way, it was too much about his clubs.
I was watching Friday. Rory is he's grinding to make a par. He's three over. They're like, oh, big putt there. Oh, a huge putt to get to nine back. Meanwhile, they're making fun of Bryson around the whole course. It's like, good Lord, guys. What are we doing here? I get it that he's a little bit quirky. I get it. I understand that he's quirky. But you don't have to, like, it's like, there's other things to talk about. Talk about how good he's playing. Like,
he's played very well.
Played great. Top 10 at the Masters after he was just, Which, by the way, a lot of, and it's one of my biggest regrets that I, apparently he's playing really well on LIV, and I should have known that, and I didn't know that, and it's like he would have been a great little sleeper pick for a lot of Masters pools. Maybe if you wanted to sprinkle something on him to get top 10, it would have been a nice little payday. But the hole out on 18 on Saturday was electric.
Was awesome.
I just, he feels, like you will admit to this, that he feels like he's in a way better spot than he was like 3 or 4 years ago, where he was like beefed out of his mind, acting like an idiot, pumping iron in the gym and all those videos where it was like, even I was like, God, this is a tough guy to defend. But now, like you talk about guys that do a lot for the game. The amount of stuff this guy does, I mean, I know you're not on the talks as I am, but he's a TikTok star. He is always on there playing, like doing the play a hole with me. He's doing the trends on there. He's got a great YouTube channel where he plays with all the YouTube golfers and all this stuff. It's like, if you really want to build golf to a new generation, that's where they all are, bud. They're on YouTube. They're on TikTok. They're on, you know, Snapchat. Like, that's kind of the generation that we're heading into here. And he does a ton on there. Like, I just think he's gone from quirky and weird to, like, straight up lovable. But people have just, they can't get by the old stuff, and they still hate him. I think he's a different guy than he was, and I absolutely love him. Like, I just, I love this weekend from Bryson. I thought it was a 10 out of 10.
You're making a lot of great points, and I don't want to get derailed. You mentioned the TikTok, and there's never been anything funnier to me in my broadcasting career than you informing me that there are videos of me on TikTok
because of
what I do. I had no idea.
You're on the top spot.
When you told me that, I was absolutely floored. You mentioned just, I mean, okay, I want to pick at all of this. You said a lot of good stuff in there. You're going to murder me for where I want to start with this, but just back to the clubs for a second.
Oh, my God.
No. This is a good thing.
Did you know they were 3D printed?
I did. I saw somebody make this point, and I honestly hadn't thought of it in this way, is that if you think of him in the lineage of, look, and hey, go win some more majors before you want to truly be among the greats of all time in this game.
I don't think
you'll
get another one. I don't either. No.
But when we think of the lineage of this game, and I'm not talking, you know, Tiger Jack. I'm talking if we go back to, like, probably our man Horton Smith or our man Bobby Jones or our real man, old Tom Morris, okay? And young Tom Morris. Those are our ultimate guys. Part of the lineage of them is creating the clubs. Like, the reason we have the different clubs we have today is because of those guys. And, yeah, they were great golf pros because they were great golf players, but they messed around with their equipment and they tinkered. And part of the reason the game looks the way it did is because some golf pro somewhere that maybe they never won on tour, maybe they never even played on tour, but they were dicking around in their shop and figuring stuff out. And honestly, that is just such a tenet of the game. It's kind of gone away now. Like, we don't have that as much anymore. But to have somebody at the absolute apex of the sport in Bryson still have that in him, I think is awesome. And it does kind of like harken back to the times of like old Tom Morris or like a Bobby Jones or something like that. It really does. And he feels so far from that era with how technical he is and how he wants a number for everything.
Yeah.
But like the spirit inside of him is there. Like I really do feel that in terms of how,
I mean, and saying when he on Saturday, when he was on the back nine, any or the second nine hit the shot into 11 and in the air yelled, "No way, Jose," because he thought he hit it in the water. I mean, it's just like, how can you hate this guy? He's just such a weirdo. I love it.
Anyway, well, and you mentioned how at peace he is, and that's a perfect other element of it. Everything we said about Scottie Scheffler, and the game isn't where it is for Bryson with Scottie, but he feels like he's finally been able to just be himself. Like, I did feel like when he was the super, like, you know, muscle freaked out version of Bryson that he was trying to lean into a character, or it wasn't even that. It was just a classic guy who was, what, 25 years old at the time, going like, what if I wear an Affliction shirt?
Machismo.
How does that make me feel? It's like, don't do that, actually. It's a bad idea.
It's but, an awful plan.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea, but he's trying it out. He's like, what if I spike my hair tonight? Okay, don't do that again. But that was it. And it seems like he's finally landed on who he wants to be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a content machine.
He is.
Even I found myself rooting for him. Like, I wouldn't have wanted him to ultimately win. If I would have found myself to the point where late Saturday or Sunday he has a lead, I'd go, ooh, come on, falter. I don't want to ultimately see it, but I loved having him in the mix. He's walking around with the signpost at Amen Corner. They're like, please, sir, excuse me, this is the Masters. Put that down. What are you doing? But everything about it, it was just so awesome having him back this weekend. And I'm going to miss him. It's an elevated event this week, the Heritage. It's not going to be the same without these guys there.
He should be there. He should be there.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And is Scotty playing again? Because looking at the odds, he's listed as 4-1.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's like some punishments if you do skip out on these. I don't know if he's able to get
the... I would take the punishment.
Well, whatever it is. Yeah, it's like, what are they going to do?
Pay the man his money. I don't know. Let him pay. He'll pay out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd be floored if he's playing, but it is entirely possible. The man loves golf. I don't know. He's got a baby coming. But he's got to earn those paychecks.
If he gets through another tourney where we're all like, well, he'll walk off if his wife calls. It's like, oh, my God, I'm not doing another tourney of this.
No, I think we care infinitely less about the Heritage. It's like, obviously, go.
Yeah, leave. No one's watching anyway.
Also, with all the debates about this, I never thought about this leading in. And I guess if you're Scheffler, you don't have to worry about this. But if you don't go to the birth of your kid and you stay for the tournament, like you have to win.
Yes.
It can't be where were you and it was, oh, choking like a dog.
No, you had to. I was winning the
71st hole. Yeah.
The chairman was giving the jacket to Rombo for me at Butler Cabin. That's where I was, where you were being born.
Oh, we didn't put this on our rundown, but have to mention this. Sad John Rahm.
Oh, boy.
Missing his former life. Thought he would be the messianic figure to bring back the game together. Has anyone ever regretted getting $600 million so much in their life?
He is number one guy. I mean, I don't know. I feel for him. He's in a bad spot. I don't feel for him. I don't feel for him. It's a wrong word. I can see that he's upset, and I understand that he's upset, but I don't feel for him. And he wants to be on the tour. Apparently got the cold. Like, he's just probably getting a bit of a cold shoulder. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It sucks.
I've referenced this a couple of times, but that Thursday interview he was doing the sit down with like Marty Smith, the Masters guy. And I don't, you know, these aren't answers he hasn't given before. So the words were no different. But I think it was just being around all the other guys. You're sitting in Augusta National talking about this stuff, and the history of the game is just surrounding you. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend like the Genesis has the same history that the Masters does, but it certainly has the more history than, you know, Live Miami or wherever they're going to go next week.
100%.
Yeah, whether you're blasting, you know, I was about to try to... Yeah, there you go. I was about to try to think of somebody cool, and all that came to mind was the Chainsmokers. Like,
I think that's
wrong
a cool thing.
Okay, all right. Well, there you go.
That's cool.
They were who was performing when the PGA Tour had a disco party in the middle of COVID. That's why they come to mind for me. But how can it feel the same? And then you're there at Augusta, and the guys are giving you a bit of a cold shoulder. And I mean, you know, it's possible he would have had a bad week anyways, but how can you say that didn't affect the way he played? It's just, I'm with you. I don't feel for him, but I would feel the same way if I were him.
So it's another great transition. This is a double transition because you had the Butler Cabin ceremony, which of course included Neil Shipley, who was the low amateur. So a couple things with him. He gave us one of the all-time great memes. That side-eye look, I have never seen anyone more uncomfortable in my life. Like, that is like, this guy is like, what am I doing here? This is a very weird tradition that I'm not sure I want to be part of. Like, what is happening here? And he just looked like he was totally out to lunch. But the part that I wanted to bring up with him is, I don't know if it gets any cooler than, this is why golf is amazing.
Yep.
Because this guy goes to the Masters as an amateur, makes the weekend incredible, has a bad day on the Saturday, and then he gets to go out with Tiger Woods as, his pair, and he plays Sunday at the Masters. And wasn't his buddy on the bag, like a 20-year-old kid on the bag?
Yeah, I saw the picture of him and the kid. If Scotty Scheffler is 27 and looks 45, that kid's 20 and looks 9.
I've never seen a younger looking person. Yeah. He is the youngest looking man ever. And they're playing with Tiger Woods, and there's the whole thing about him slipping him a note, which is hilarious, which adds to, like, the allure and what was on the note. And just having him play with Tiger, I thought that was, like, quintessential Masters lore, right? Like, that's just something that only would happen there. And I thought that was amazing. So it's just kind of a good way to transition into the Tiger weekend. But
hold on. I got to get in on Neil Shipley for 2 seconds
Great flow.
Here. Great flow. The youth are doing all right. I was getting reports. I was watching with my young son, asking him who was cool and who was not. And I'm very happy to report that among the 3-year-old set, Neil Shipley, very cool because of his hair. I loved seeing him there. The story about his buddy and caddying there, that is just some stuff you will never ever forget. Nope. And golf, like, it's just a funny sport. So, you know, Nick Dunlap is the guy who beat him in the final at the USAM last year, and mm-hmm. Nick Dunlap is supposed to be here. He's already won on tour. Like, that's supposed to be going this way for him. Yeah. Neil Shipley, it was kind of like a Cinderella story that he got there, Cinderella story that he made it to the weekend, and however the rest of his life goes, he'll be able to say he had a Sunday walk with Tiger, which is just, like, incredible. So, Tiger, what do we make? I think I'm going to start with this. I'm happy for our man. I think is how I'd sum up the weekend. I don't know if he's happy. Deep down inside, he should be. But yeah, what'd you make of his weekend?
I thought Thursday and Friday were as gutsy as it gets for him to have his round cut in half, which was just, you know, it's brutal for him to have to fire up everything that he needs to do to get himself ready to play in a golf tournament, to get that all ready for whatever time they went back out on the course. It was like 7:45, 7:30, they're back out there. I mean, that's as much to ask of anyone as you can ask. And I don't know, but, like, have you ever seen anyone more miserable? That looked like me day four in Lacombe. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to be on this course. I am so tired. I've had 100 beers. I'm done with this. He looked miserable, bud. He was out of it. Did not want to be there. He grinds his way through it, grinds his way through the second round, makes the cut, which I think is so phenomenal. And then on Saturday, bud, he birdies 5 to get the plus one. Leaders are at what? Minus 6?
Yeah.
I had a moment where I thought Tiger Woods is going to win the Masters. And you tell me that as there's ever going to be another moment like that, I would not believe you. So he gave me something that I never thought I would have, where I legitimately was like, is he going to be in the top 5 here? Like, what's about to happen? He immediately craps his pants after that birdie, shoots 42 in the front, and he's out of contention completely. But I thought it was a really good weekend for Tiger. I know he finishes last. People will clown on that, whatever. Who cares? Just the fact that he plays 4 rounds, makes the cut, sets the record. You know, I just loved it. I loved everything about it. And they showed him the appropriate mount on Saturday, where he started to go squirrely. They stopped showing him. They show him finish up on 18. And then he's, of course, done before the main broadcast starts on Sunday. But I loved it from Tiger. Good weekend for him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he could have scripted it better in his mind, of course. Have his, you know, 2019 moment all over again. That's not happening.
No,
I mean, but he gave us the Fred Couples moment. That's all we ever wanted. Fred Couples, Bernhard Langer, Tiger Woods. Not a bad club to be a part of. I'm sure he would gladly loop himself in there with it. And yeah, I'm with you there. He gave us the Fred Couples moment. Him and Vern Lundquist jointly giving us one of the great memes of our time.
Yeah.
Of Tiger Woods shaking hands with his father,
with
Mr. Wood. Yeah, Mr. Wood. Yeah.
Very good.
I like that one. That was just awesome. I mean, that's two legends. The fact that Tiger, and this is all part of it. Like, I don't even know if 3 years ago Tiger is, despite him being in the spot in the tournament he's in, unlocking himself from competitor mode to go over there and shake Vern's hand. But it's at this spot, and it's honestly, it's not to make Vern about Tiger here, but it's things like that that let me know that one day he is going to just let himself be Mr. Ceremonial guy and go hit the tee shot and be part of the game. It's going to be hard for him to admit that it's time, but he clearly has such an appreciation of the history of the game. And man, like, Vern is such a big, big part of that. I just thought that was awesome. And obviously, like, good job, internet, with the meme. Like, you all did a very good job.
And, you know, I think we'll wrap up here because we've pretty much said all we need to say. But the Vern thing, I think I was getting emotional thinking about it. You think of some of the greatest moments that you can remember. And you just, you know, this is across all sports, that, you know, a great moment is synonymous with the call. And it's like, that's what matters a lot of the time. Like, it's clearly a great moment, but it's nothing if whoever has it butchers the call. Like, you're going to be thinking about the call. And you know, for our generation, it's like, you know, In Your Life. Have you ever seen that? Mm-hmm. Yes, Sir, with Jack Nicklaus in 86. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, he's a part of this thing. And who's replacing him? And do we know that?
I don't know. It's an iconic perch, 16. And man, I thought Scotty, like, giving him the moment to pouring him one more birdie putt for him. That was just, it was awesome. And non-golf as well. Like, he had like the kick six and the iron bowl. Yep, like, absolutely. He's done so Legend. Much. I do have one more quick one for you before we go. No free ads, but you are one to love the apparel manufacturer of Jason Day.
Oh yeah.
Augusta National, they bullied him and said, take off your sweater vest. It is an assault to our eyes. I don't know if you saw him being interviewed about it.
No, I didn't.
But
what did
he say? Well, it was just very funny that he was happy to answer any questions because people were asking him, but he wanted to make such a non-stink about this. They're like, who asked you? He's like, someone asked me. I took it off. They're like, did you have a problem with it? No. Someone asked me to do it. Was it an Augusta National person? I don't know. Did they have a green jacket on? No, they did not. Like, it was just like this inquisition to him about, What about the vest? What did they say? And he was just so clearly not wanting to make any waves. He's like, I love it here. It's great. I'll take off all my clothes. Actually, no, that's too forward. Just whatever they say is fine. It was just so funny. I think it's hilarious that they made him take it off. Some people will roll their eyes at it. I actually think that's just like, good job, Augusta. Never change. Even if it is like, there's nothing wrong with the vest at all. And he totally could have worn it. I just thought it's hilarious.
I got to say, I like the vest. I thought it looked cool. I think he's cool. I think that, first of all, Malbon, like you said, no free ads.
Yep.
That's the best ad they ever got.
Oh, my God. Augusta saying, don't wear that here.
It's too quirky. It's too cool. Like, that's like the ultimate thing they could have ever done for them. Like, they're like, thank you for that. Yep. The pants on Thursday were so bad. Like, I get like the new look where it's like, you know, maybe a little bit of a throwback to the 90s.
Yeah.
Not like, I understand the look. I'm not Mr. Fashion, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'd never be mistaken for Coco Chanel here, but like, I think I understand what he was trying to do. It was bad. But he looked great yesterday. He had the all white, like that really, like almost like a cream. I'm all in on Malbon, and I'm all in on him like taking risks. I love it because all these guys look exactly the same. They all wear this like performance. You know, I think we need to swing back a little bit from like the performance era where it's just been like all these like weird material shirts that you can't get the smell of BO out of for 6 weeks. We need to kind of swing back to it being a bit more of a fashion thing. And I'm down for that. Yeah. But yeah, I think Augusta was in the right to ask him to take that baby off. It was a little bit of a risk, and he did it. But yeah, good for him, man. I love the company, and I'm down for sponsorship. So call me up, Malbon.
Yeah, just remember, I'm the one who brought this topic up on the pod, so like, hit me up first, and then I'll put you in touch with Sam. It's amazing. I think for the 100th playing in the Masters, which is in 12 years, I think it'll work out to be, they should all have to dress like the 86 Masters. No hats, not a moisture wick in sight, at least for like a Wednesday practice round. Why? Or can you give me that for the par 3, please?
Why in that broadcast? It's one of the most electric 3 hours of anything you'll ever watch. It's just such a great time capsule.
It's so good.
And not to get too deep into it here, but God, they do a great job of covering the golf tournament.
Just bouncing around.
Bouncing around, showing shots, flying over, showing what the putt's for. Like, I mean, you know, you take that stuff for granted now, but in 86, it's a lot different than it is in 2024 in terms of that, what it takes to do that. And they crushed it. But man, some of those outfits were insane. The Greg Norman wearing bell bottoms like that look like they were leather, and he can't see anything. He's trying to like put on a hat, just wear a hat. Jack, he can't see. He's squinting at every ball. He doesn't know where anything's going. It's an amazing thing. So I'm glad you brought up the 86 Masters. Everyone should have to dress like that every year. That should be the real tradition.
Yeah, we do. I would gladly have a tournament where it's like Persimmon clubs, and you got to dress like the 86 Masters. I don't think anybody's signing up to play for it, but I certainly am signing up to watch it.
Couple of just quick hits. We do have to mention Max Homa. Good performance. Putter let him down for the last half of the tournament, big time. So too bad. I think he'll be back in a major, but it feels like he won't get a ton of chances, and this one will probably keep him up at night a little bit. Number 12,
Yep.
It's done it to many a man, and it wasn't the water that got him. It was the old rose bush, but fine performance from Max. But yeah, I thought I should mention him quick too.
Yeah, keep chopping wood. Give yourself chances, and maybe one of these years it'll go for you. Oh, you mentioned 12. The shot Scotty hits there. Is there a cooler thing in golf than to have that be known as the Tiger shot, yep, where you don't need to be aggressive down the stretch with 7 holes to play, knowing that you're just going to win this thing?
Tiger 19, just playing this, right, yeah, in the middle after those two bozos put it in the drink.
Yeah, and then he said, what'd you guys, turn on the blowers back here? Oh, God, what a moment. Take me back! Oh, that was fun, Masters. What a major to kick off the year. We'll be back a little bit before the PGA with a preview, and then we'll be back after that with a recap. Sammy, always fun, bud. Thanks so much, man.
My pleasure, Gunner. Talk to you soon.